good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. She joins us every Thursday at this time for our public cervix announcement, our friend and colleague, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning. I am fired up.
And it's my fault. Because
it's your fault. I'm mad, Jane. I'm so angry.
I'm just so happy you're not mad at me.
I love you. Who could ever be mad at Greg, honestly?
I sent you an article this morning about what's going on in Arizona and how Arizona's anti-abortion laws are impacting women in that state. And I found this in the Arizona Mirror. Democratic Senator Eva Birch described last week on the Senate floor all the hoops that she has had to go through to get an abortion after finding out that her pregnancy is not viable. So again, this happened about a month and a half ago on Todd Albaugh's show, and we were talking about what this means for women and what these laws mean for women. And a caller called into Todd's show and said, well, they're not making women carry a baby inside that's dead. Yes, they are. Not here in Wisconsin, but...
Yes, here in Wisconsin. Yeah, actually, it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same. We have many of the same laws that they have in Arizona, and it's all the barriers. The story she told is a story that one in four women in this country experience. One in four women in this country will have an abortion in their lifetime. And in most states these days, it's not as easy as just going to a healthcare provider, getting a diagnosis, talking through your options, and getting treatment. In some states, you can do that, but in most states, you can't. And so the story she told on the Senate floor in Arizona about her experience could absolutely happen in Wisconsin.
Senator Eva Birch, again, talking about all the hoops she's had to go through trying to get health care, because that's what it is, because her fetus is not going to survive. So this is what she had to go through. She had a transvaginal ultrasound. She had to hear a list of mandated recommendations from her healthcare provider.
We do that.
This included advice to avail herself of foster care and adoption alternates, despite the fact her fetus is going to die. You are lecturing her about putting up for an adoption an infant that is not going to survive.
It won't even reach infancy. I mean, this pregnancy, I assume, was doomed to falter early in the pregnancy. And all of her options were taken away. And don't forget about the 24-hour waiting period that she endured, which is another thing that we have here in Wisconsin.
And I think what's also really infuriating about this, Dr. Lyerly, is that her Republican colleagues essentially left.
Yeah, that's the part that really steams me.
During her testimony, she's sharing this extremely painful, extremely personal experience. And the colleagues on the other side of the aisle just left because they don't care. And they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I think it's more that they don't want to hear it because it's the truth.
I would say it's because they're cowards.
Yes.
Because they can't stand the consequences of what they're doing. Because if their family member was in that situation, they would find a way for their family member to avoid all of those barriers because they're privileged and they have access. But to hear one of their colleagues tell this story about the barriers that she's encountered because of their political malpractice, they can't handle it. So they left like cowards. And she stood up there and talked about the shame and coercion and the fear that they induce in women like her. She was shaking as she told her story. She shouldn't have had to do that. But she had the courage to do that so that other people would understand.
Yeah, she displayed an immense amount of courage. She really did. She could have kept that to herself and kept her pain private. and she chose not to on behalf of other women. Also, among the things she said, doctors and patients should be making these determinations, not lawmakers who don't have to suffer through the consequences themselves.
Right. 100%. You know, and if I could just say one thing to our listening audience, it's this. For all of the women who I have seen, for all of you who are out there who have been in a situation like this, and there are many of you, and I know you're listening right now, and I know there are men who have supported women in this situation. For me as an OBGYN doctor, it is my honor to care for you and to stand with you and to respect you. And you are so very not alone. It just, I am incensed by this behavior that these cowardly politicians are exhibiting. And we see the same thing here in Wisconsin, and we can change it.
And it just seems so intentionally cruel. It really does seem intentionally cruel, going back to the fact that her fetus is not viable. It is not going to make it. And yet she still had to sit and listen to her adoption alternatives. Mm-hmm. That is just mind-boggling to me. The
here
cruelty
in Wisconsin,
of it.
We have to do an ultrasound, and we have to show the picture to the patient. And the patient doesn't have to look at it, but we are mandated to show the ultrasound picture to our patients. That is a law.
Well, what's going to stop them from taking the next step and then forcing women to look at it? We're just going to hold your eyes open, so you have to look at it. And because this isn't going to get better, my friends. Under a second Trump administration, these kinds of restrictions and these kinds of laws are only going to get worse.
We know that. He has stated that. He has ways to backdoor a national abortion ban using existing laws. So to get it past Congress, to just, you know, do it himself. And it's not just abortion, it's contraception.
Yes.
Which is not just getting beat up in this way, but also all of the misinformation and disinformation that's being spread on social media, and people who are now afraid to use birth control pills and other forms of contraception because conservative people are out there, influencers, talking about the dangers of contraception, urging people to use more natural options that aren't nearly as effective. And people who are listening to them, thinking that they're doing the right thing for themselves, are putting themselves in danger and much more likely to experience an unintentional pregnancy.
Are they suggesting, Dr. Lyerly, that women go back to the rhythm method?
Yeah, actually, which is something that I counsel my patients on, because for some people, that is the right option. If you know what your periods are like, if you can time out when you think you're going to ovulate, and very importantly, if you can withstand the possibility of an unplanned pregnancy, if that would be okay with you, then that might be a great alternative. But if an unplanned pregnancy is not in the plans, then you need a more reliable option. And that's why, please do not get your medical advice off the internet. Please talk to a licensed healthcare professional who will hear you and help you make the best decision for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't go looking to influencers for your medical advice. That's a terrible, terrible idea. Mm-hmm. Why are we ceding our own power to these people? I don't understand that.
Because they're pretty, they're rich, they're outgoing, and a lot of times they say the exact same thing we agree with. And therefore, we
trust everything they say.
We then are comforted in our little old bubble of information and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, that's why
Well, and it's accessible for them. Yeah. Because think of all the young people who are working gig jobs and they don't have insurance and they're just trying to get by and they just need information. They're getting their healthcare wherever they can, however they can afford it. If it's free on TikTok, if somebody pretty and seemingly reliable has some information that seems like it applies to them, it makes sense why you would go with that. But it's not safe. It's not safe, and it's not in your best interest.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for our public service announcement. We're talking about an Arizona lawmaker whose fetus was determined to not be viable, and yet she still had to go through a number of hoops in order to get the care that she needs, including a transvaginal ultrasound, including being lectured on adoption alternatives. And again, this baby is not going to make it. And what's most infuriating, Senate Majority Leader Sonny Borelli was among the Republicans who left while she was testifying. He returned briefly in an apparent mistake while she was still speaking. So he walks back into the room. She's still speaking. He turns around and walks out.
Unbelievable.
Disgusting. You know, and I think it's known by now where my stance is on this topic. And so I'm going to ask this question. A lot of this could be avoided if a state does want to have abortion laws, if they just sat down and spoke about the nuances therein, as far as like non-viable pregnancies, all these different things, and make laws that cater themselves to it. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you know, hey, why not throw in, you know, sexual assault, rape, and incest and those kinds of things that allow women and young girls to get this kind of health care. But they won't do that, because the moment they concede any point which allows anyone to have this procedure, they have to deal with their base, with the voters, with lobbyists. So instead, it's a zero-sum game. There is no nuance, and you just have to deal with it, women. You have to deal with it.
Oh, exactly. And the whole thing, and again, we talked about this before, Dr. Lyerly, I used to think that was a careless oversight on their part by not clarifying some of these things. But now I firmly believe they don't want to clarify things, because the whole intent is to terrify doctors so that they will not provide the care their patients need, because they're concerned about the consequences. So they don't want to make legal parameters for what's acceptable. Let's just leave it all vague, and then that way no one will help women.
Well, they don't understand. You know, they don't understand all of the nuances in medical care. And frankly, there are a lot of nuances. So it is really hard to legislate medicine, because it keeps changing. It's like science. It keeps changing. And people's individual circumstances are different and changing. And there are so many, it's not just physical things, but it's mental and emotional things too. So you can't legislate this stuff. This is personal health care.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. If you have a question for the doctor, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board, and she joins us every Thursday at this time for our public cervix announcement. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. If you have a question for the doc, you can always text it in at 855-75-CIVIC or call as well. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and formerly Twitter, talking about this lawmaker in Arizona. Took to the Senate floor to talk about her experience and her inability to get abortion care when it was determined that her fetus was not viable. We had a question from Catherine, who's listening here on WAUK. Can you ask the doctor about hormones and birth control?
Yeah. Hormones are kind of the standard for birth control. There are lots of things to talk about with regards to hormones, and different people are affected in different ways. So some people do really well with the pill, like the standard pill, which is a combination of an estrogen and a progesterone. But some people really struggle with it for whatever reason. So this is why it's really important to have somebody who is paying attention to you and who is hearing you, so that you can tweak your hormone. If it's not working for you, maybe you try the shot. Maybe you try the ring. Maybe you try the patch. Maybe you try an IUD. Most of these things have hormones in them. There is an IUD that doesn't have hormones. That's a great option for people who want to avoid hormones altogether. So that's something to keep in mind. But, you know, even with the traditional pill, there are many, many different formulations. We can change the dose of the estrogen. We can change the type of progestin. So we can try to fix things so that you can tolerate this medicine. And it's not just for birth control, I should mention. We use it for acne. We use it for endometriosis. We use it to prevent cancer. We use birth control for so many different things. So please don't be afraid of birth control. Some people can't take it. Totally understood. Some people have risk factors, but this is a great opportunity to talk with someone who you trust. And if you feel like you're having a conversation with your doc and it's just not sinking in and something's just not right, find another doctor.
Yes.
Second opinion is never a bad idea, because you have to make these decisions for yourself and you need guidance from somebody who really understands the landscape. So if that relationship is not tight, then move on to somebody else.
And ladies, very specifically, this is to us, because I think we feel badly if we're going to break up with our doctor, like we feel badly if we break up with our hairstylist. Break up with your doctor.
Yep.
If that's not working, find another doctor.
I tell people the same thing with therapists. You don't jive with your therapist, and they'll understand. They're professionals. They'll understand.
And they probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can tell when there's good juju between you and another person. And if it's just not rolling, then you find somebody else. You know, I've got plenty of patients who are very strict Catholics. They do not want any form of birth control. They want what the church would recommend. They have medical conditions.
Yeah.
So we try to find the treatment for them that fits in with their ideology and with their beliefs. Because if I send you out the door with a birth control pill and you are not comfortable taking a pill, your problem is not going to be solved. I have not done you any favors. It's cost you a bunch of money and you're unhappy. So please find a doctor or a nurse practitioner or a PA, whoever your healthcare provider is. Please find someone who truly cares about you.
Angie from Monroe just texted in. We should talk about vasectomies. Some women can't take birth control. We need to explain the process to the men listening.
Yes.
Also, why isn't Viagra on the chopping block? That's a whole, we could do an hour just on that.
I support Viagra. I think that men should have access to Viagra. I also personally use Viagra for my fingers because I have a circulation problem in my fingers. So Viagra is also used for other things. But I get it. I understand what you're saying. You know, vasectomies are wonderful. Mm-hmm. Men are afraid often to get a vasectomy because they know it's going to hurt. But March Madness is here. So this is the time. Classically, have you heard about this?
Yes.
A lot of men get their vasectomy around March Madness so they can, like, take some time off of work and watch the games. So pick some sort of an optimal time to get your vasectomy.
I'm surprised you didn't know this, Greg, because we've talked about this a lot. And it's the access to the frozen vegetables that that also makes it for some little cooling.
Snip that bracket. I know. I mean, honestly, I feel like the vasectomy is becoming very demystified in the realm of men, especially my age and younger. I know a lot of men who have gotten vasectomies after they had that second or third child. It's not tubes tied. It's the man walks into the office, gets the snip, and goes home, because it's easier and quicker and presents less complications, as I have been told.
And that's
totally right. Yeah, it's an office procedure for men. For women, it's a whole surgery with anesthesia, and it's, you know, inside your body. And it's much more complicated for women. It's still a very low risk surgery, but for men, it is much, much lower risk.
Yeah. And I understand the emotional concerns, certainly, about, you know, nobody wants to have surgery in that area of their body. Nobody, you know, but as you said, when you compare one to the other, and if you can't take hormones, if you can't take the pill, if you can't, you know, this is an option. And not all vasectomies, but there are some that can be reversed, correct, Dr. Lyerly?
Well, you never want to go into a vasectomy or a tubal ligation for women, assuming that you're going to be able to reverse it, because sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's not successful. So if you're choosing sterilization, it's permanent. And the biggest risk, and we're seeing a lot of young people choosing sterilization, men and women, the biggest risk is the risk of regret.
Yes.
If you choose to be sterilized and you're 22 years old, your life could be completely different by the time you're 30, and you might decide that you want children at that point. And, you know, you've closed that door. So luckily for women, IVF is an option. For men, IVF is an option too, but, you know, not with their sperm, likely.
What?
I'm thinking, like, can they do that? Like, no, I don't think so. So, like, it, once you close that door, that it's really hard to go back.
Well, and let's not forget what's going on with IVF, because they are still pushing this personhood measure, which is going to screw with IVF. And mm-hmm. that this is not all settled stuff.
This oh, Jane, I just talked with a friend of mine in Georgia yesterday who has patients in Alabama, and she said they can't even get their embryos out of Alabama because transport systems will not move the embryos, because if something happens to the embryo, could they be charged?
Yeah.
With
so
homicide.
These patients are stuck. Yes, these patients are stuck with frozen embryos in a freezer in Tuscaloosa. It's like holding them hostage.
Yeah. It's a lot to it's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
This November is really, really, really important, my friends. Voting in November is critically important.
I just wanted to say something during this segment before you took off, Doctor. Just to let you know, the 31st of this month, I have my physical set up. I will be getting my blood panels. I'll be getting all the stuff that you want me to get. I will report back unless I'm completely embarrassed by the results.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Doctor.
I know it's hard. It's hard to think about doing this, but it's a huge step. So really proud of you, Greg.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us every Thursday. You can always ask a question, send it into Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We'll see you next Thursday, Dr. Lyerly. Thank you so much.
Love hanging out with you guys.
You too. Stay close. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ear.
And the curtain's set to rise. The madness has begun.
Hello, friends. Ready to make a few shiny moments?
The ball is
good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports balls. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, is here. How you doing, J.R.?
I'm doing good. I wonder how Luther Vandross... how in the world he became connected to a generation of basketball fans with the One Shining Moment song. What a weird turn of events for Luther Vandross, his estate, all of it. But there you are, Luther Vandross, every year, right on time.
I had two questions at the beginning of this part. One, what the heck was that song? And two, why does JR know the lyrics?
I'm sorry. Why does JR know the lyrics? That is part of the basketball fandom culture. You cannot not know the words to One Shining Moment when the when college basketball season rolls around. They play it at the end of every tournament. They do like this recap hype package after somebody wins the championship. Jennifer Hudson has her own version of it, but it's the Luther version for people of my age that really.
Who sang it though? Fat Luther or Skinny Luther?
There is no size. There is only one person.
There is only Luther. There is only Luther. Calvin, you are obviously very familiar with that.
I thought everyone knew One Shining Moment.
Me too, Calvin.
I'm not big into the tournament anymore, but I was in high school, and I would always stay up super late after the championship game to watch the One Shining Moment highlight reel.
Would you cry with a little tear coming down the eye?
I was just about to say, it makes you a little misty-eyed, because it's cool, like all the big moments compiled in the one. It's a cool song. It's kind of jamming.
Oh, then maybe I'll watch it this year, because I feel emotion.
Don't stay up late for it. Just wait till Tuesday morning and watch the video after.
Look for it in line.
Rousing endorsement by Calvin Buenoff.
If you see the meme, the ball is tipped anywhere on, you know, during a basketball game or whatever, that is the reference. It's always a reference to that song and that moment.
Okay.
At the end of every year, at the end of every basketball season.
Well, I apologize for my total ignorance.
So how are you feeling about the NCAA?
I'm always.
How are we gonna do?
Well, I'm always feeling pretty good about it. I would say that in terms of for the men's basketball teams for Wisconsin and Marquette, a pretty nice situation for both of them. I think both are in a really favorable bracket. Wisconsin is right now seen as kind of the trendy upset pick because James Madison comes in with 31 victories. They're a really highly regarded mid-major team. They've got some great guys. I mean, great individual talent. But I just love how Wisconsin has flipped the switch. You know, they were playing so poorly through all of February, and they get into March, they get into the Big Ten tournament, and they're just a different team again. They're back to this team that ended up being number six in the country. You know, you get into the tournament and it's all guesswork. Yeah. You know, we can analyze it to death and it doesn't really matter. I mean, there's no predicting what comes next, but I do think the Badgers are back. Like, they have put themselves in position to be that team again. And I do think they're going to beat James Madison, if only because everyone thinks they're not going to. And then they play Duke, a Duke team that I think the Badgers can beat. That would be a nice little cathartic experience for those of us who followed the Badgers back in 2015 when they lost in the championship game to Duke. So I think that's a really nice setup for them. And Marquette should feel very, very good about where they stand. They're a two seed. They've got Western Kentucky to start with, but then they'll face either Florida or Colorado. I think Marquette should be really disappointed if they don't get to the Sweet 16 this year after falling short last year. Like, that's kind of a bare minimum. And they should be, they got three NBA guys on that team. They should be able to go as far as the Elite Eight. And I think, who knows what's going to happen, but I do think if it's not Sweet 16, it's a disappointment. And then, you know, see where they go from there. But that's an Elite Eight team to me. That's a team that should get pretty deep.
Well, that's pretty exciting for Wisconsin sports fans. I mean, right? That all sounds pretty good. What about the UWGB women?
So they have a tougher road. They have to face Tennessee, regarded as kind of one of the powerhouses of women's basketball and women's basketball history. This is a sixth seeded Tennessee team, so this is not the Tennessee with Pat Summitt that was always contending for championships, but you know, it'll be an upset. No secret. If they are able to beat that team, Tennessee really should have beaten South Carolina. South Carolina is undefeated. No one has beaten South Carolina all year in Tennessee. It really came down to a crazy three-pointer from South Carolina center, who's never made a three-pointer in her career before. So that's a dangerous matchup, but I love UWGB. I always love that, you know, just a roster chock full of Wisconsin kids. They kind of play the same way all the time. There's no 20-point scorer on that team. There's no 18-point scorer on the team. They all do their thing. They all play their role. Nobody's, you know, they're usually like reasonably undersized and they just work amazingly well together. Kevin Borseth has built this crazy powerhouse out of talent from Wisconsin. And they had a really good tournament. They crushed Cleveland State in the Horizon Final. And so they too playing their best basketball here. And I'd love to see him give it a shot against Tennessee.
If you're just joining us, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here to talk all things sports. How many pools are you in? I'm just curious, J.R. Are you in 19?
No, that's not really how I roll. I am in a couple. I'm in a couple pools, but primarily my thing every year is a few buddies and me get together. We do a player draft. We have 10 rounds where we draft guys who are going to appear in the tournament. Most points wins at the end of the tournament. So you want guys who score a lot, but also who get to the later rounds of the tournament. Again, just a very random, crazy process. We don't play for money. We play for pride. But I would recommend that. If nobody, I know some other people do that, but I have a lot of fun with that, following individual players. And then obviously there's some, you know, following brackets too. But that's the lesser pursuit for me at this point.
So it's like fantasy basketball.
It's exactly like
that.
But
for a very short amount of time.
Right, a real short
for
season.
For 3 weeks. And it's super simple. It's just points. You know, you don't have to worry about rebounds or assist to turnover. No. Who's going to score? So get those volume shooters, those guys who go 6 of 21 from the field but still score 18 points. Those are your guys. So it's a lot of fun.
I'm going to draft late 70s Larry Bird.
You're welcome to do that, since he will not be scoring much in this tournament. I don't know if that'll work out for you, but use a late round flyer on that. That's fantastic idea.
Well, that's not anything I've ever been involved in. I've never done the pools, because I know nothing about this stuff. Sure. And I would pick according to very silly things, and it never worked out well for me.
But it might, though. That's the randomness. That might actually work out for you. There is no science here.
We looked it up, and it said that to pick a perfect bracket, it's a 1 in 9.2 trillion chance.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something. I actually thought it was more like well, there's like something quintillion, whatever comes after trillion or denominations after.
I'm sorry, quadrillion. It's quadrillion. Yeah. I said trillion, quadrillion.
Yeah. We could keep making up words to describe your chances of winning of picking a perfect bracket.
Not going to happen.
Now, if you do pick a perfect bracket, that guy is going to be celebrated. That man or woman will be celebrated for the end of time. And it's going to be a 12-year-old, you know, a 12-year-old kid who was just like randomly picking one day and pulled it off. It's going to be amazing.
That would be a beautiful thing, actually. That would be that would be pretty sweet. Baseball season, we're almost ready for a regular season and opening day.
That's right. The Brewers are a couple weeks away here. Opening day is March 28th. Oh, we're a week away from opening day in New York against the Mets. The Battle of David Stearns, the former Brewers general manager in charge of the Mets. It's going to be a good time. I'm a little worried about the Brewers. I don't know if I love most of their position battle situation where there's like, you know, Devin Williams, now their closer, is going to be out for 3 months. He was one of the, you know, the real one of the players who really was special on this team. So they don't have him. They traded Corbin Burns earlier this offseason. You know, Brandon Woodruff is hurt. They've got guys who can do the job. It's just it's not a team that inspires a ton of confidence, in my opinion, right now. But still, they are a team that won 92 games last year. That's very good. They won their division. They did downgrade, I think, a little bit, but also upgraded in some areas. So they should still contend for the playoffs. It doesn't quite feel like we're there. I think anytime the Packers go deep into the playoffs, it just sort of tightens up that offseason window and you're not as clamoring for baseball. I still think maybe we're in that halo a little bit. The college teams are really good. That's also part of the equation. But I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling, I guess, about the Milwaukee Brewers.
I just want baseball. They can all the other sports can take a back seat. And for me, I was talking to a friend of mine about this last night. I don't have high hopes for the Brewers, and that doesn't mean I think they're going to fail, but what I do think is we're going to have a good time this season. I think we're going to see a scrappy group of players getting to know each other, getting used to each other's foibles, their whatever, and getting to know this coach and the talents they're in. And my big, you know, you just brought up Devin Williams is hurt, and from what I've read, and correct me if I'm wrong, JR, I feel like Devin Williams is also not happy with this team right now because they said last year he was complaining about this injury that he has now and the Brewers were doing nothing about it. Well, now he has to go in for a procedure that takes him out for 3 months. We could lose what's his name? Adames, it might be gone.
Oh, sure, the shortstop. Yep.
Yeah, and for me there's something troubling with that because if we lose Adames, it's going to be the same way we lost Arcio. Arcio was a ball of light, a positive energy on this field, and we loved him. And he's doing great. He's doing amazing in Atlanta. But now, if we lose Adames, that's another like fun. I don't know. There's something about him that's wonderful, and I want to have that. You know, Christian Yelich isn't that guy. He's going to be the leader of the locker room. But I feel like the Brewers just are not gonna don't want to keep these players. They're going to let them go.
I hear that for sure. Willie Adames, it's interesting that you notice that because I feel like people don't appreciate how much a ball of light Willie Adames is. He's a guy that I think they should have maybe found a way to market even better. Part of it is, you know, he came in the aftermath of the pandemic, so it was a little hard to kind of get his name out there right away. But he's just a tremendous personality, tremendous human. It would be, you know, akin to the Packers losing Aaron Jones, that kind of guy in their clubhouse or locker room. And I do think that there would be a loss there. You know, if we're talking about Arcia, the difference was Arcia wasn't playing well enough, and he has found a second wind in Atlanta. So maybe that ultimately didn't work out. But I don't think Orlando Arcia was ever going to get to where Willie Adames is now in terms of an overall contributor, where he is truly elite defensively and pretty solid offensively too. So they are going to have to decide what to do, and some of that is going to be dictated by how they're doing. If they are in last place, you know, in June, July, they're going to have to trade him. They just will. They might have to anyway.
Yeah.
But they're certainly going to have to move on, you know, just because unless they can somehow sign him to a long-term contract, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And as for Devin, he's an emotional guy. You know, he was vocal when the Brewers traded Josh Hader in 2022, how that caught him off guard, and he didn't love that. I don't think there's necessarily like a huge, you know, a lot of acrimony per se, but you know, Devin Williams is going to tell you if he's unhappy with something. And, you know, as he is one of their best players, it does behoove them to keep him happy and, you know, like do what's best for him. So
yeah.
I don't know where the Devin Williams thing shakes out. If he's healthy when he comes back, if he's, you know, when he comes back, is he going to be the same guy, the same hammer in the back of the bullpen? I don't know. That's a really big question mark for the Brewers right now.
While we're talking about baseball and we just have about 2 minutes left, JR, Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter and close friend fired by the Dodgers. This broke this morning after allegations of massive theft. What do you know about that?
A crazy, crazy story. And I've been still we're still trying to digest it. I think like it's less than 24 hours old now, but, you know, it sounds like his interpreter, who is not just like a guy who translates for him in interviews. It's a guy who is like spent tons and tons of time with Ohtani here. You know, the reporting is that he stole money from Ohtani and used it to gamble. Ohtani possibly helped pay back some of those debts, and there could be some red flags there. It's MLB has not yet launched an investigation, but that's sort of the like next natural step here. Well, how much did Ohtani know? Was he involved in gambling in any way? Was he, you know, involved with this bookmaker who's under, you know, who's in federal trouble at this point? The answers seem like no. It seems like it's okay, but we're in the infant stages learning how that is, learning the true nature of all of that. I think face value, he probably was just trying to help his friend out.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes, because he's the greatest asset in Major League Baseball right now. That's going to be fascinating.
He joins us every other Thursday, J.R. Radcliffe, a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Talk to you then, guys.
Take care and stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Wherever you're listening across the state, you can always join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. Just a reminder, your next chance to ride into spring, our text to win statewide contest is going to happen in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba. So he's going to have a word for you. You want to download the Civic Media app, go to your app store, download the app. Go to whatever station you're listening to around the state. If you're listening in Richland Center, Chippewa Falls, in Hayward, in
Amory, my favorite
place I've never been. And then you're going to want to text that word. So there is one specific word at that hour that Todd will have for you. In the 1 o'clock hour, you text that in. You have a chance to pick up an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everybody who enters, including the winners, have a shot at two grand prizes, including brand new bikes, a very fancy blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. So make sure you join Todd in the 1 o'clock hour for your next chance to ride into spring, our text to win statewide contest. And don't forget to download the Civic Media app. It is free. Little heads up about the weather. We had Brittany Merlot on yesterday. Yeah. And yeah, we're going to get snow mainly after 4 a.m. Now it says it could be heavy. Chance of precipitation, 100%. New snow overnight, 1 to 2. And then it's going to snow during the day tomorrow.
Correct.
Could also possibly be heavy at times. Chance of precipitation, 100%. They're talking 4 to 6 possible. And this is going to be that very heavy, wet stuff. It's going to be 35 degrees tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So if you have an elderly neighbor or someone in your neighborhood, maybe you want to give them a hand and snow blow for them or something as you're doing your own.
Brittany referred to it as heart attack snow.
Oh yeah.
So if you are shoveling and you're feeling faint or just a little out of it, take a break. The snow's not going anywhere. Nope. Just come back in a little bit. Let yourself have some rest. Get some water. Take care of yourself.
Do it slow.
Do it slow. Yeah. And if it, and if a neighbor offers it, is like me, I don't have a snow thrower right now. I was going to buy one this year, but I was like, we're not getting it. So I saved myself some money. But if a neighbor offers to do it, just let them do it. Don't be prideful. It's not the time or place for it. Also, download the 511 WI app so you can keep an eye on what's going on the roads. They have camera footage on there so you can see where accidents are, where it's slow, where it's good, where it's bad. And also, and if you don't need to be somewhere, stay home.
And it's really going to vary depending upon where you are as far as these snow totals and everything. It's not an exact science. We know that.
Yeah.
So we'll just try and keep you abreast of things and use some extra caution and maybe build in a little extra time before you head out the door tomorrow morning.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to be racing and speeding and
And if you have four-wheel drive, that's great. Tomorrow's not the day.
Well, it's great if you have four-wheel drive. I have all-wheel drive.
Well,
the laws of physics still apply to me.
I let me rephrase that. You be safe. Don't be a jerk on the road. Just because you can drive over the speed limit with care and control doesn't mean you're not freaking people out around you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's our little lecture for today.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear me, people?
Sit down and take notes on this.
Be good to yourself!
Something else we did want to talk about just a little bit briefly before the news is all of our wonderful social media.
Correct. So, folks, I don't know if you know this. If you're on the live stream, you already know this. But Matt and Air on Air has their own Twitter page, which is Matt and Air on Air, at Matt and Air on Air, which is the same as our Instagram. And I will spell it for you right now. It's MATENAERONAIR, Matt and Air on Air. You can follow that. Follow us on Instagram. Like our page on Facebook. That way, when you are on Twitter or on Facebook, you can watch the live stream shows. You can also watch us on the Civic Media YouTube station as well.
Right.
But like those pages, follow those pages. We post to them. We'll be posting fun stuff, pictures.
Some polls. We're going to do some polls.
We'll do some polling. We are going to, you know, we'll do a quick, you know, a preview of what we're going to be talking about on the show that day. So it only makes it easier for us to get to you if you follow us, find us on social media, all the same as at Matt and Air on Air. And you can go on Civic Media if you need help spelling it. Go to civicmedia.us and you can find a way to spell Jane's weirdo last name.
Yes, thank you. I know.
But yeah, come on. It really honestly helps us. And then the other thing too is every day we do this show from 10 a.m. to noon, we also live stream this show. We also put this show out as a two-part podcast every day. So the first hour and the second hour are released as podcasts. You can't listen to us live? Here's what you can do. You can go to your podcast distribution center of choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can subscribe to our podcast and click the button that says download new episodes. You'll get two new episodes a day. That'll be the entire show for the day. And then you got us in your pocket at all times.
You take us with you wherever you go.
And you can review us. Give us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. If you don't, email us at janesays@civicmedia.us and tell us what else we could be doing. If it's super big criticism, send it to Kelvin.
Exactly.
I don't care.
We really do want to hear from you. If you have show ideas, guests you would like us to talk to, if something is going on in your community, doesn't matter where you are, Richland Center, Green Bay, Oshkosh, all over the place, you can always send us an email at janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. And as Greg said, any big complaints, just send them to Calvin. He'll get right back.
Send it to calvinb@angelfire.com/calendar. It'll go right to him.
Sure. It will.
I know technology. What can I say? Watch out, Elon Musk.
Coming up tomorrow morning at 10:33, we will recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Stay close. News is coming up next. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. Without you, nothing works. Thank you all for listening and calling and texting. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Be careful on the roads. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.